Now we should be joined on the line by Shane Nestor of ACT UP. Are you there, Shane?
Yeah, I am, Paul. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning to you, Shane. How are you today? All right?
Good, good, yeah. It's not so frosty. It's not so cool.
Yeah, we're getting into summer. Not quite, but we're getting into spring, yeah. Spring at least.
Summer's just around the corner.
Just around the corner, yeah. We're the optimistic
bunch. Going surfing.
That's it, yeah. I played the Beach Boys next. Okay, now Shane, before we talk about ACT UP and what's involved in that, maybe you can tell us a little bit about what got you into acting in the first place.
Well, I suppose I was living a kind of a conventional enough life. I'd studied engineering in college, which was probably, I suppose it was, I don't know, maybe I was doing what I should be doing. It was something my father had done and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And I don't know, I suppose I probably needed an adventure. I was on a building site and it was Vietnam and all the drills going. And I just went, I needed something. So I headed off for San Francisco. I don't think I was so aware at the time that I was into it, that I was really wanted to explore acting and stuff like that. But not long after that, I went into a class. I suppose looking back then, in hindsight, people had said it to me way before that I'd been talking about it or yapping about it here and there. I suppose when you're after a few drinks, all these different personalities and characters start coming out of you, you know?
Yeah.
So,
so you were a natural? You
know. No, I don't know what it was, I suppose. It's about a natural something. It's about escaping or something. I'm not sure. I needed something else. But it's just a way of, a fun way of, I suppose, of looking at the world, really. I suppose when I was younger, right, there was a hint of that. But, like, when you know, that friends would come down to see the family, friends would come down to see the folks, and they'd say, geez, you should be on stage. But, like, they wouldn't, the parents weren't going to encourage that, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I suppose they tend to put you in a certain direction.
I know, well, they kind of, oh yeah, well, don't be getting any notions, you know, it's not like X Factor now where everyone's driving out there to be famous and stuff like that, I suppose. It was like, get your shit together, basically. Get your head together.
Was that in the Wilds of Cork, was it?
It was in the Wilds of Cork, yeah.
Yeah.
So I suppose it was just, it wasn't something that he would have, or they would have understood, you know? So it wasn't something that, it wasn't really an option, I suppose.
No,
but
then,
I mean, I was always looking for a chance to do something different. I mean, if you had a new teacher in school or anything else, if there was a new, I don't know, whatever, temporary teacher or something like that, I would always pretend to be someone, the guy who was after moving in from Australia or something, you know what I mean? I was totally clueless, or, you know what I mean? Or,
you'd like to take on different roles, yeah.
I'd like to take on different roles to see what I could get away with.
Yeah, and so, in terms of, have you had any success with acting? Have you've been involved in a few things? Maybe you can tell us about what you've been involved in.
Pardon me, say that again?
Just wondering what roles you've taken on in terms of
Oh, yeah, well, I suppose I was probably, because I lived in San Francisco, I was influenced more by American theatre there, so I had set up a small a theatre company a few years ago, and we would have toured with a few shows. I would have played Lee and Sam Shepard's True West, and the Professor John in Oleana, and I think they were very well received, and I mean, they got great reviews. So I suppose back in my time in the States, I would have probably acted in the one that stands out for me is Pato and the Beauty Queen of Lanann. I would have performed at the Berkeley Rep, which has got a reputable theatre there.
Very good, yeah.
So, and I've tried to move towards camera a bit more as well. But it's a great release, and there's a great buzz in getting ready for a role. It's more, actually, an awful lot of time, it's not just about performing, it's about the preparation and everything else that goes into that. You find out so much about yourself, because every time it's an exploration. And I suppose it's an exploration of yourself, you know, because you're playing all these different characters. But there's certain things seem to, you know, people have this notion that you adopt a character. I think the audience often decides what character you're playing. You actually just go on an exploration.
Right,
you know,
that's interesting.
I've had people say, oh, Lee in True West was, you know, he wasn't the sharpest. But I actually thought Lee was deadly sharp. You know, what he put out was different to what was going on inside. And then, whereas the professor, I always assume a professor is intelligent, whereas I thought he was as thick as a blank.
Right, so that's what you bring to it.
Because he was so caught up with one way of looking at things, you know. He basically didn't even know his own, what was true for him, you know.
Great. And then did you get involved? I know the ACT UP is you more on the teaching side of things. So what made you get involved in teaching?
I suppose it was probably because the initial buzz and lease of life that I got from acting when I first started off. And I suppose I wanted to impart that. I wanted to share that with others, you know. It was just such an amazing feeling to actually get outside of the box, get away from what you think you should be doing and doing something that was actually fun, I suppose. And, you know, and I just, you know, I suppose that's, the, like, you can really get into the idea of the technique and all that, which I would have studied different techniques. Techniques like Meisner technique definitely had a huge hold on me, which would have been kind of like, I suppose, if they all talk about the method now, but, like, that's evolved, you know, that's a very loose term. But what I wanted to really get back to, I suppose, with the class as well, was to get back to what was why I did it, which was the fun.
Yeah.
And I have and I try to encourage the social outlet. And I actually think the results are better for it. I think sometimes people can be too caught up on technique and not see, you know, the bigger picture, you know. So I try to have a very simplistic approach, but adopting all the time there are things that I'm applying that, you know, that I've learned over the years, you know. You know, not to make conclusions too fast and to allow yourself from the very first, say, in class, even learning that you're exploring right from the start to the finish. You're always a little bit intrigued. You're not really sure where it's going, you know?
Yeah, super,
and
yeah.
That would be the same with rehearsal. So, yeah, sorry, that's what got me into teaching. Was that the original question?
That's the answer, perfect, yeah. And then, I suppose, ACT UP... I have a bit of experience because I've taken your class. Let's be honest.
And I did very well.
Well, I enjoyed it. If that was the objective to enjoy it, then I think I passed. Yeah, because I did.
And, well, that's the most important thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and it is great fun. But maybe if you could tell people out there just a little bit about what's involved in a beginner's course of 6 weeks.
Yeah, I suppose mostly, I don't know why different people come. I'm sure some people, there's always an element of, you know, I'm sure when they come initially that they it's a huge challenge for them to get there. But mostly they come for the fun. And it's also obviously a social outlet. It's a great release, it's a great release from the everyday mundane routine. But, you know, obviously some people come to improve their presentation skills, their public speaking, what have you. Actually, what I find, funnily enough, an awful lot of time is, I know you have some experience from public speaking and stuff. I find a lot of people come in from Toastmasters or something like that, and they find they don't know what to do with their hands.
Yeah.
And, well, for me, you see, acting is doing, it's not talking. And, you know, a picture's worth 1,000 words. A guy could throw a face and it could say, you know what I mean? It could cover a multitude of paragraphs of yap, you know?
Yeah.
And I suppose when you essentially know what you're doing, it makes it much easier, you know, if you know what you're trying to impart, what effect you're trying to have on an audience, you know? Because one of the things that I really try to emphasize is listening, you know?
Yeah,
it's just working off your audience. You're always improvising, you know.
I think one of the things that, just from my experience at Toastmasters, one of the things people get a little bit frustrated with is you're kind of told in Toastmasters sort of not to move a huge amount, you know, to sort of be rooted in the spot. And I think our natural instinct is to be expressive, but we're a little bit shy sometimes, aren't we? To do that.
Well, you know, it's funny now. That's what Sean Penn's complaint was initially on camera. They were telling him they couldn't move anywhere. And then he said, but then he found he could. But, you know, I suppose there is a pragmatism in approach. But what I would find then is I would actually have people move all over the place. And then that will come, when you're practicing, then when you actually deliver, you'll find that all that energy is in there.
Yeah.
So I would actually do the opposite, but you could still then do it anyway you wanted to, you know, you could adapt easier, but you've got to let those feelings and those, if you feel you have to move, you've got to move.
Yeah, exactly.
But what they are probably saying is, oh, it's very distracting if you're waving your arms here, there, and your legs are flying or whatever you're doing, right? they're probably saying that's very distracting to an audience.
Yeah.
But they're approaching it all wrong. But the problem, they're thinking too much about the speech. It's what are you trying to say? What are you doing with the speech?
Yeah.
And, you know, what are you negotiating for? Because every day we're negotiating. I suppose acting, like I believe that everybody acts every day.
Yeah.
And it's just a case of learning, or how would you say, it's more about performance than it is about acting. The issue is performing. Can you perform? And that's about letting go of stuff, letting go of inhibitions. I mean, if you ever watch the film The King's Speech, and he can't, you know, he has this terrible stutter and he's so restricted, like he's in a box. So your man's trying to get him, his voice coach is trying to get him to curse, to let things out, to not be so restricted, you know, so that he can, you know, because he's told everything is inappropriate. And I think if you're starting off and telling it someone to stand like a rod still, I think that you're doing them a disservice myself.
Yeah, I agree. It's one of the reasons that, like, I had a few experiences at Toastmasters and I came to your course. That was my reason for coming, was because I wanted to loosen up, really, and it kind of, I think it helped me loosen up a bit.
Yeah, and there are no mistakes. You know, people are always constantly... Mistakes are gifts. That's the way we see it in acting. Sure, if something falls on the floor and it's not supposed to in stage, it's amazing how alive people look and how in the moment they look.
Yeah.
Whereas everything up to that point has been just a little bit too staid, a little bit too, you know, regimented. But, like, look, the other thing outside of the classes and stuff like that, I mean, obviously, what I want to do is encourage people to come out and to realise there's nothing, you can't do anything wrong, you know?
Yeah.
Get back to what they were about before they were given all these rules as kids, I don't know.
Mm.
But the outside the class, I hear an awful lot of people say that encourage them to take off and take more chances.
Right.
And, a guy was on to me the other day, this guy, young fellow, he was in the class a few years back, and he was saying, you know, that it gave him the philosophy.
Mm.
He had he was very much interested in the philosophy and stuff like that. And we have a social outlet in that we go for a pint after class and stuff like that as well, and it's always good crack.
Mm.
But he was just talking about the way of it, and I think because of that, he said that he went and took a job, I don't know, as an air host.
Yeah.
Another girl went off to the Middle East. She said she didn't think she would have been able to do that before she took up acting. She acted in one of her productions. Like, some people will go to the stage, others won't want to go that far. It's like, I just, like, if someone really wants to go, I'll fast track them there. But it's, the most important thing is that you have to be fun, and that you're letting go of stuff and breaking down inhibitions, you know?
Yeah, I suppose some people do it because they want to be an actor, and then other people do it because they want to, as you said, loosen up or lose their inhibitions. Or
yeah, exactly. Well, and often people secretly do want to be an actor, but they, you know, they're not ready maybe to admit that to themselves. But look, it's not as a full time career and everything else. Acting is difficult, but actually, it's nice that people come from all walks of life in the class. Like, you have mechanics, I've had doctors, I've had sales reps, social workers, all different backgrounds, unemployed as well.
Yeah.
They all come to the classes. But, like, what helps them, actually, I think an awful lot of time, is that they have a life outside of just acting.
Mm.
I'm always wary, like, I mean, I often think of Michelangelo and stuff, you know, about his painting and everything, but Michelangelo is working every day making ceramic pottery or something like that, and painting. He was like, what I mean is, it probably allowed him to take his mind off other things. He had done his time, he'd done his apprenticeship, and I think life is like your apprenticeship to acting, you know? Your experiences in life are the thing that inform you.
Yeah. Very well said.
Of how to behave, you know.
And just in terms, give people an idea of just again what happens in a typical class. So you do a bit of improvisation.
Yeah. Start off initially. I tried to, by the first class, I put an awful lot of emphasis on the fun of storytelling improvisation, and I try to encourage them to do a monologue by the end, by the sixth week. Because I think it's a huge benefit to them. It can be anything. It could be from a clip from a film. It could be their own piece. It could be anything. It could be a poem. So I try to set up the class for that. then as they move on, I probably work a little bit more on a certain listening technique, Meisner technique, the choosing of an action, which is basically, what are you doing in the scene, you know, and what's a fun way to play it, in kind of layman terms.
Yeah.
That's practical aesthetics. And I kind of try to use a certain philosophy as well about, I suppose there's a way of working as well, and you pick up a script that you're exploring from phrase to phrase and line to line. You're not deciding so fast how you're going to do it. And it's an approach, I suppose, that Glenn Close and Kevin Kline and a lot of people have used.
Yeah.
The practical aesthetics would be more like David Mamet and William H. Macy would have evolved that kind of technique. And it's, again, it's a derivative of Stanislavski's system and the method, right, you know. But basically, I try to bring in a little... I started off very much about... It's very much about bringing people out and breaking down the inhibitions and keeping it fun and light. There's a lot of improvisation. I start bringing a little bit of text. We go, we work on a piece of poetry and stuff like that. But mostly it's about bringing them out. And I suppose that's always, there's always an element of bringing people out, you know, encouraging them to take a chance, you know. I start moving towards text. I suppose the next class I'll start moving towards scene study and stuff like that, scenes, you know, performing and acting with other people on stage with a script. That will be more intermediate, and then advanced, you're starting to move towards the stage, if that's what you want, you know?
Yeah,
start putting
super
on our own productions. We've got a writing team.
Super, yeah. One of the things I found, Shane, was that I've said it to other people outside after I did your course, is that it's very rare that we're sort of given an opportunity to be silly, you know, in everyday life. And I found that, you know, you just can't do it anywhere. And the thing I found about your class is that that opportunity was there, and it didn't matter because everybody else was being silly, so it didn't really matter what you did, because somebody would do something sillier in the next moment. So
I'm top of the heap there, because I'm usually one fall flat in my face, and I think people, when they see that happen, they kind of go, oh well, geez.
Yeah,
if he's willing to
lead by example.
Yeah, but I remember a guy said to me there one time, he was an actor, a young actor, he'd done his time in New York, and he said that Al Pacino came into a class, and he said that, like, he was performing, he knew their teacher, and he was working some piece through. And he said, I've never seen a guy totally screw something up before. I mean, it was like watching an absolute amateur.
Mm.
Like, you know, and he said it was really, you know, heartening to see. But just that's the way you start out with everything,
yeah,
you know?
Everybody starts.
But what I thought was, it took incredible courage from Al Pacino to go out and expose that to people, you know?
Yeah.
And show them, like, this is a part of the process, you know?
Yeah.
So it really is like a series of mistakes gets you to where you need to go.
Yeah, and it's okay to make mistakes, which is a great lesson to learn.
It's okay to make mistakes, and you know what, you'll learn probably a lot more far as, in the end of the day, it's about fun, and eventually what you'll get will be far, I think, a far higher quality than the person who's made up their mind and made a decision, who's afraid to make mistakes,
yeah,
but has made up their mind right from the get-go, you know?
Exactly, yeah. Now listen, Shane, we're just going to wrap things up, but before we do, you have classes starting tonight. You have a course starting tonight, isn't
it? That's right, this Tuesday, yeah. 6-week course starting tonight. We'll have other, and another, we're working on a new production which is going to be set site specifically in a restaurant on Thursday. It's Good Things Come to Those Who Wait. It's about waiters.
Very good.
So, yeah, we finished with a rap party the other day, called The Last Ride, was the play. About a train. Sorry,
very good. And if people want to get in contact with you, Shane, how do they do that?
I suppose the one they'll remember easiest is actupclasses@gmail.com.
Okay, perfect. And then your number?
actupclasses@gmail.com.
And then your number, they can give you a buzz.
My number is 087 795 1558.
Okay, lovely. Well, listen, best of luck, Shane, tonight with your course, and many thanks for taking our phone call, and we'll speak to you again soon. Best of luck.
Great stuff, Paul. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.